everybody, I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And this is the Week 3 podcast. Yeah, it's kind of what we came up with to throw up on the third full week of the month because we looked at that calendar and thought, huh.
And let's clarify, throw up as in threw it to the wall to see what sticks, not
yes, yeah, no,
the other no, connotation.
There will be word vomit here, but that's not exactly what we were going for. And if you've listened to the first couple of episodes, you kind of don't have any idea what to expect because this whole show is about whatever.
To be fair, we don't know what to expect.
Yeah. So, Justin.
And it was our idea.
So, Justin, I happened to be looking at some of my old gaming stuff.
Uh-huh. Of which you have a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So I came across a strange relic from a bygone day. It was gray. It had a number of buttons on it, as gaming controllers usually do. Mm-hmm. And it had three handles.
I'm trying to think of a very perverted joke, but it's not coming to me, so...
No, don't worry. It'll get there. Let's talk about the N64 controller. This is...
Oh, yeah.
Fun fact, the Nintendo 64, my least favorite Nintendo console.
But it...
It's what? Here. Yeah. but we're going to be talking about why I love the controller. Yeah, it's strange. It's one of those things where when it came out, I was one of those, not edgy, let's be honest. I was a teenager, though. And, you know, all the cool kids were using PlayStations and Dreamcasts. I had one of each as well because, you know, that's how I roll. But then there was Nintendo. God bless Nintendo, who's all, okay, everyone else is doing discs. Let's do cartridges because why the hell not? And so
because
they released
it's Nintendo.
Because it's Nintendo. And they released this big blackish gray trapezoid that had four controller ports on the front. It needed expandable RAM to play Donkey Kong 64. And there's going to be a day. There's going to be a day where I talk about Donkey Kong 64. And anyone who likes Donkey Kong 64 is not going to be a fan of that day. Just do me a favor. Look up in your spare time, Justin. Look up the DK rap. That is okay. The best part. Yeah, that's the best part of Donkey Kong 64.
Okay.
Yeah, just look up the DK rap. And you haven't seen it yet, right?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay, yeah.
This sounds like something I would remember.
This is a life-changing experience. You will remember this day. But anyway, back to the matter at hand. The thing that the N64 stood out for most, aside from launching with a grand whopping two games, one of which was Super Mario 64, and the other one was Pilot Wings, otherwise known as Nobody Gives a Shit, was the controller, which had one analog stick right in the goddamn middle of it, a big red start button, a green A, a blue B, four yellow, quote-unquote, C buttons. I'll get to that in a second. Two shoulder triggers, a D-pad, and three handles. One on each end and one in the middle. A lot of people hate this controller. I love this controller.
But it's your least favorite console.
Yeah, it's complicated, okay?
Clearly.
For a couple of reasons. One, this controller was what I would consider super adaptable. If you're playing like a shooter, you hold the middle controller because that middle handle, because that's where the joystick is, and then the right handle for your buttons. If you're playing a fighting game or a wrestling game, you hold the controller as a standard one, you know, that kind of thing. I think there was even a couple controllers that only use the D-pad, a couple games that only use the D-pad and the stick. I don't know who these people are. But that was a thing.
Clearly maniacs.
But the controller gave us two things that a lot of people have forgotten about. Two wonderful things. One, you've got a Wii, right?
Yes.
Picture the nunchuck. Picture the nunchuck. Yes. That's the third handle.
Yeah, I see that now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Got the trigger on the bottom, the stick. It's shaped right. It's the third handle. You're welcome. Secondly, the N64 controller gave us rumble because game controllers Ooh. Weren't doing that yet. Yeah. Now, granted, it was not at launch, and the controller was super light, but there was this big expansion port on the end, and that was where you were supposed to put your memory card. Remember memory cards, kids? Yeah. But you'd stick a memory card in there, and then eventually Nintendo's like, you know what we could do? We could make something that has a motor in it, and you could jam that into the memory card slot. And sure enough, I know. Jam it in. Yeah.
I'm just thinking, it's like, okay, let's make something with a motor and jam it into the slot right next to the third handle.
Welcome to the Week 3 podcast. But yeah. But yeah, it was the Rumble Pack is what it was called, and it was essentially allowed gamers to have vibrations and rumble when they're playing sports games or other games that supported the Rumble Pack, and it was such a revolutionary idea that then companies started building vibration mechanics into their controllers. So if it hadn't been for the Nintendo 64, its multicolor releases, I had a gray one and I had a black one. The controllers anyway, and the weird setup, we would never have had rumble in our controllers.
Okay.
Nintendo proved that it was possible. A lot of people are like, no, you'll lose some dexterity or you'll lose some functionality. Nope. There you go. But yeah, the layout was weird. The C buttons, there's like four little yellow buttons. Those are supposed to be camera control. That's what Nintendo, because this was when 3D gaming was starting. So Nintendo's So for Mario 64.
That and like Ocarina of Time, right?
Yeah. Now Ocarina of Time, they just used the trigger underneath the middle prong to reset the camera. But and they just used it for item management. But for Super Mario 64, that was the idea. You press the left C button, camera pans left. You press the up one, camera zooms in, that kind of thing. And so Nintendo is like, this is how we want you to use it. You can use it for camera control. And every game company said, nah, F that. We're just going to like do whatever we want with those buttons. So that's why you now have 4 to 6 face buttons on your controllers. Yeah, in WWF's No Mercy, down C, like the bottom C button was run. So now you know.
and the more you know.
The more you know. I miss that controller. I mean, I know that objectively it's probably not a good one. Like, I know it in my heart of hearts, but I'm one of those people that I will mark out for the weirdest stuff. Like when Microsoft first announced the Xbox, that controller was big enough to feed a family of four. And I was like, all right, yeah, I'll use the Duke. That was the actual nickname that they gave the controller.
The Duke.
The Duke. when the Dreamcast came out
boys, we're going to play some video games.
The Dreamcast had like memory slots, memory card slots built into the controller, and the memory cards had little LCD screens on them, so you could play mini games while you're playing your game. And I thought that was just the best damn thing. I've always been a fan of weird controllers. By the way, don't look up Spider-Man Plug and Play, because it's essentially a joystick that plugs into your TV, but the joystick is shaped wrong.
You know I'm gonna do it later. After I watch the DK rap, I'm gonna look up Spider-Man Plug and Play.
Yeah. So.
And I will judge our friendship accordingly.
So I'm pretty sure I'm going to like start getting fan submissions of just weird ass controllers. You know, that remind. Did you ever see the Resident Evil 4 chainsaw controller?
No.
It is probably the worst design thing I've ever seen, and yet I kind of want it. We're done talking about the N64. I'm just going to talk about weird controllers now. It's a Wii 3 podcast. What are you going to do? Stop me?
Yeah. I'm not. I'm learning.
No, it was like a tiny chainsaw that you had to kind of wrap your hand around with like sticks and buttons and all that, but it didn't look like a controller. It just looked like a chainsaw. But you had to use it like a regular controller.
Okay.
And then there was the slime controller. You're familiar with Dragon Quest.
Vaguely.
Yeah, yes. Okay. Well, they've got that little blue slime creature or whatever. It's like, that's kind of like their logo. And it looks just like a teardrop, essentially. Now, let's take that teardrop and make it a controller by making you turn it upside down. So you literally turn that smile into a frown and you hold it by the slime butt, I guess. And there's a whole bunch of controller inputs on the butt. Man. Oh. Yeah, I'm starting to think that maybe it's for the best that we got away from the gimmick controllers. So yeah, there's some fun facts about the N64 controller and why it's not so bad. Oh, it was bad for one thing, though.
Do tell.
Don't throw it.
I would like to preface to our listening audience that is a blanket statement for all video game controllers. Don't throw it.
Okay.
But I want to specifically know why not the N64 controller.
Okay, well, like the NES, and when I was growing up, I was a controller chucker. I admit it. If I got upset, it was better than taking my frustrations out on like another human being. So like, you know, stupid game, throw the controller. NES controller, it's like a tank. It's made of Nintendium. It's fine. It'll never break. Super Nintendo controller, a little rounded, but that just means it won't hurt as much if it bounces and hits you. It's fine, you know? N64 controller, 3-foot long cord. So you don't have a whole lot of room for error there. And those things are like porcelain compared to other controllers. Maybe it's the third handle. It makes you feel like you can whip that thing like a boomerang, but it will break and it will shatter and you will be out $60, my friend.
So what you're telling me is Nintendium in its most compact form is indestructible. But when it's slide out,
it becomes
okay.
It becomes not vibranium or something, So so now you know. Oh, I forgot one more weird controller. PS3 had a Batarang controller.
What?
Yeah, do you remember
this? How did I not know about this?
When they first showed it off, the first concept art and the controller looked like a legit boomerang. And everyone was thinking, oh, that's going to be so uncomfortable. I hate it. And I'm over here saying, I will take 3, please. But they ended up not doing it at launch. They ended up doing the standard controller. But you can find it in the wild. I don't know. It was a third party who did it. But it is legit a boomerang-shaped, but because of the placement of the dual analog sticks, it looks like a batarang-shaped controller.
Okay. For a second there, I thought it was like a tie-in to Arkham Asylum or something like that. How do I not own this? But okay,
oh, no.
Got it.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no.
Gotcha.
I guess you could get Batman Brave and the Bold and tape a Wiimote to the Batarang from the Arkham Collector Edition.
I have that, yeah.
Yeah, and then just then give that a chuck, because that Batarang is made of Lego-grade plastic. Yeah, that's a fun bonus fact for you.
Nice.
Hey, speaking of that, what do you want to do next month?
Well, since you brought it up, Legos.
Okay. All right. Well, be sure to check out our other episodes, which usually have a better format and Okay, a format. You want me to watch what?
Well, which is on our other shows, not episodes.
There you go.
The other episodes of week three are going to be whatever the hell. Our other episodes. Yeah, and
you can tell week three is so well structured and so practiced. yes, our other shows. The first full week of the month, you get the Deep Cave podcast in its original glory. You get during the second and fourth weeks of the month, you get You Want Me to Watch What? With Justin and Chad.
Hi, Chad.
And sporadically, you'll get Geek Cave TLDR, which is kind of one of those things we throw together if there's a big news story in the land of geek pop culture. And by golly, someone's got to tell you about it in 10 minutes or less.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Liz.
Yeah, hi, Liz.
You can also find our video content on YouTube and on Twitch, including Geek Cave Plays. And you want me to watch... No.
Retromantics. Hi, Lori.
You want me to play what? That's what we should call it.
Yeah.
Yes. So another exceptional, professional-sounding episode of the Week 3 podcast.
To be fair, by the third week, we're all burnt out, so...
Yeah, I hope y'all appreciate what we're doing for you.
Yeah, we're looking into things we love. Darn you, listeners!
All right. Also, go to deeptapepodcast.com, and, well, bye!